Hey, babies. I know it's been a minute. And again, forgive the acoustics. I'm in a sauna. I'm taking a fucking sauna, sweating it out. And that's what it took for me to finally get over my fucking shit and do a rant. This might be the longest run I've done without doing a podcast. It's safe to say it's been 6 weeks, maybe. So not that anyone gives a shit, but here we go. Let's do it. I was just thinking, I was just remembering. I don't know if I've told this story about the mushroom massage lady who comes over to your house with mushrooms and gives you a 3-hour massage and busts out these S&M tools, like, but they're not used for sex, they look like it, and eats mushrooms with you and proceeds to give you a very intense deep tissue massage as well as talking to you while you're both on mushrooms together and finding, if you believe in this, which I do, like stored trauma in your body or energy blockages for whatever the fuck, and she'll find a spot and be like, oh, what's that? She'll talk to you about it and you're like, ah, that's when my dad sucked my dick when I was 6 or whatever the fuck. And when I sucked my dad's dick. And it was maybe one of the most intense experiences I've ever had. And I've tried some really, and heavy body work. I've worked with the Maori shamans. They come from New Zealand and fucking torture you in the most beautiful way. I think one of the family members listens to this podcast. You guys are amazing, but it hurts in a beautiful way. They rub rocks on your fucking head. Literally rub rocks on your head, and somehow it's magical, and that was very powerful. Quickly, I'll tell you what the first time I went. Then I'll get back to mushroom massage lady. My buddy had told me about the Maoris coming to town, and they were in Malibu, the Maori family. That does amazing healing work. So I went to check them out, and I go into this huge house in Malibu where all these people are laid out around this big room getting worked on by the mother, the father, the son, and a couple other family members. You have to be in this family of Maori shamans from New Zealand to do this type of healing. And of course, I'm a skeptic, so I went in there very doubtful, but I was willing to try it. And there was a baby next to me crying, and two parents standing over the baby that looked like they hadn't slept in a week. And they were like, yeah, we've taken, I was eavesdropping, like, yeah, we've taken this baby everywhere to, all the best doctors, the baby can't sleep. And then the mother comes over of the family, and not making this up, the mother comes over and the baby's wailing, crying, and the mother comes over and puts her hands on the baby's head, says something I couldn't understand, and then says something along the lines of, demons be gone. And the baby started laughing, and the parents started crying, and I said, holy shit, what's going on? This is some next level shit going on here. So anyway, then the mother comes over to me and she puts her hands on my head. I guess that's how they gauge the problem that you're having. And she goes, oh, Simon, you're carrying a lot of anger. It's like, yeah, that's fair. Okay. She says, we believe that men store anger in their calf, so I'm going to have my son come work on you. And no lie, the 6'7" Maori warrior comes over and starts digging his elbow full strength into my skinny little calf muscle. And I arch my back up and I'm screaming at the top of my lungs, bloody murder. And three people had to come hold me down. And there's other people all around and I'm screaming, get the fuck off me. It's 129 degrees right now in the sauna. Get the fuck off, stop. And he didn't stop. He kept going and digging into my calf. And then you kind of pass this threshold of pain where you go out of your body and you just release. And then I just gave up after like a minute and a half of screaming. I just had to let go, which is, there's the lesson. And let go. And this motherfucker's just digging in, and I just had nothing left. I go limping out of that place, and I knew they were for real because I was like, how much? And they said, oh, we just do a donation basis. If you want, give something. If you don't, fine. I was like, okay, I'm on board with this. And of course, that was the impetus for me to pay more than I normally would have. I think that doesn't matter how much I paid, but I gave them a good amount, I think. More than I would have normally if it was just a tip or whatever. And I went back and I see the Maoris all the time, and they're great. And anyway, so now back to the mushroom massage lady. And she's, and also, mind you, she's a lesbian, so there's this weird thing that you don't have to feel where it's uncomfortable being naked in front of somebody that, if you, in case you get a hard on or something weird, you don't have to feel weird. So this woman was basically like, I'm a man in a woman's body. And she just had the strength of a warrior. And she would, and I remember when she came in with the mushrooms, I overheard someone talking about this lady at a health food store in LA. I just overheard, overheard things in LA. I heard someone saying, yeah, and she comes over with mushrooms and gives you a massage. It's so intense. And I go, I'm sorry to bother you guys. Can I get her number? So I hit her up. She comes over. She busts out the table. And this is when I was living in Venice a few years ago. And she hands that bag of mushrooms out, and I ate like a stem and a cap, which depending on how strong the mushrooms are, you know, that could be a lot or a little. So I thought it was a good place to start. And I'm laying on the table, and then she kneels down in front of me and gets right in my face, and she goes, "What are you afraid of?" I was like, "Oh, shit. This bitch is calling me out." She's like, "Well," I'm like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "Eat more." Like, all right. So I ate more, and then she ate mushrooms with me and fucking gave me a 3-hour massage and starts doing all this body work on me. And I'm fucking, sometimes I'm laughing, sometimes I'm crying. I don't even know all this stuff's coming up. She's talking to me about this, what could this be? And you're, you know, this could be that, blah, blah, blah. And then she busts out these tools that look like torture devices, like fucking like metal S-curl fucking weird things, and she's digging them into my sciatica, and then she starts doing fascia work, you know, like she starts doing like Rolfing, it's called, and she puts on 2 rubber gloves and snaps them on like psh, like out of a movie, like she's, and I'm like, what, is she gonna shove her finger up my ass? Like, what the fuck? And she proceeds to go into my mouth and massage the inside of my skull and jaw very hard as I'm on mushrooms. I can't even tell you how intense this shit was, right? So yeah, the mushroom massage, and I turned her on to a few other people, and I'm not gonna say her name because I forget it, and she was on another fucking level, right? I mean, that's some intense shit. And I don't know if she was qualified to do sort of the therapeutic things of talking to you about this stuff that could be. And who knows, maybe it's bullshit. Who knows? Maybe there isn't stored energy. I like to think that everything's energy and that's not too woo-woo. Vibrations and energies, everything. So why wouldn't there be some storage blockage in us that you can kind of move around or open up? So I'll tell you, I mean, both with the Maori healers and her, I mean, I can't, it's ineffable. I can't describe what happened, but something happened. And I think it's kind of like, when you do psychedelics, at least for me, every time you do it, you kind of peel an onion layer back. You know, you kind of, some shit happens, some change. And that's what I feel happened with just the heat Maoris alone without being on mushrooms. And then with her with the mushrooms. And then I was thinking about how I used to go to Kundalini yoga every day for like a year when I turned 40. I kind of hit that midlife regalia. I was like, all right, time to stop fucking chasing the party. Let's look for something new. So I found Kundalini yoga, which is a, you know, you do a lot of breath work and a lot of mantras and chants, and it's really intense and it's very cult-like, and I'll just say it, it's just what it is. Like a lot of yoga scenes or any scenes are cult-like, and I never quite wore the outfit, but a lot of people in the class would wear the all white, and you know, I would sometimes, no disrespect if anyone from that class is listening or to the Kundalini scene at all, but I would take mushroom microdose and go into class to really heighten the experience, which they probably wouldn't want me to do that. You know, they probably want you in there sober, I imagine. So I would go in there fucking and eat like a stem or a cap and go in there and just be, and sometimes it might hit you harder than others, and I would just be tripping, and sometimes you'd have to do these weird things in the class where she'd be like, okay, I remember one time I went in there and I was shrooming a little too hard, and she was like, okay, the teacher says, I want everybody to get to know each other a little bit better. I feel like you guys sit next to each other for 90 minutes a couple times a week, but do you guys really know each other? I'm like, oh, fuck. So she goes, everyone stand up and play musical chairs and just walk around the room. So I start walking around the room, and then she's like, stop, turn to the person next to you and sit down in front of them. And it was this older woman, probably 60 years old. And I had to sit there with her and hold her hands and stare into her eyes and not break eye contact as you breathe in and out and rock back and forth while holding her hands and staring into her eyes and just connect without talking and just breathing. And I'm tripping. Once you go through that kind of shit, it makes those little awkward, it's almost like training for the real world for those uncomfortable moments. Like, if you could get through that, if you could get through shrooming and staring into a woman's eyes and breathing in her face, rocking back and forth for 30 minutes, I think you could handle, you know, a minor, you know, scenario out in the wild. But anyway, I don't know why I felt inclined to share that story with you. Holy shit, it's fucking 132 degrees. I'm dripping fucking sweat. Let's push through this together, guys, okay? Let me get a little sip of water, and I'm gonna tell you some more crazy stories. Hang on. I just got back from Costa Rica. That was amazing. Went down there to shoot my boy's surf movie. If you guys wanna check out the other ones, it's called Snapped, S-N-A-P-T. I shot Snapped Oh, man, am I really forgetting? I think I was in Snap 2 and 3, or we're shooting 3 or 4. I can't remember. Anyway, they're called Snapped, and they're really good surf movies. It's not a 90-minute movie. It's like a skate video, but the best surfers in the world all shoot, you know, sections, and then I'm sort of the comic relief in between the surfers. I get to go hang out on these surf trips with pro surfers, and I don't even surf. But in these skits, we pretend that I'm this legendary surfer that taught them everything they know. And so it's funny because all my surfer friends, they get, you know, they see me on Instagram, you know, with, you know, Mason Ho and Bruce Irons and Kobe Aberton and all these legendary surfers. They're like, you motherfucker, you're in Bali with my heroes and you don't even surf. How the fuck do you pull this off? I'm like, hey, baby, I just know the right people, baby. It's all about who you know. And yeah, so I just did one of those. I just went down to Costa Rica. We were in Jaco and Playa Hermosa. And it was a trip because it's still COVID, but down there on a little beach town, it felt a lot more relaxed than in America. Not just as a whole, it's a very relaxed culture, but especially during COVID. And they were cool, like, you know, you wear your mask inside there. In San Jose, the big city, there was still a lot, I guess there was some spikes, so people were being cool. But it was very cool to go from the dry desert that I've been living in, dry, fucking arid, you know, mile high, to ocean level jungle moisture and just fucking be a sweaty shish kebab and just walk around the tropical regalia. So I did that for a few days. And then I was going to go to Miami and I was like, fuck, why am I going to Miami? I'm staying in Costa Rica. So I cancel my ticket. One of my boys hits me up. He's like, bro, I'm up in Santa Teresa. You're super close. And I look at a map and it's like 14-hour drive. I'm like, fuck, that ain't close. But there's a speedboat that goes right across the peninsula in an hour. So you could get there in an hour and a half with the bus ride for $50. I'm like, fuck that. I'm going to Santa Teresa, which is supposed to be like the Ibiza of Costa Rica. It's like, you know, a lot of money there. That's where Tom Brady and Giselle buttfuck and all this shit. And it's just kind of like the spot. So I was like, oh, I'm going to go check this shit out by myself. So I went alone up there and met up with my boy and just stayed in his spare bedroom. He has a company. His name's Danny Wright, D. Wright. He has a company called Gravity Water, which I want to start helping out with. It's really cool. He travels to third world countries and helps these villages set up clean drinking water through this gravity apparatus that I probably can't describe correctly. And shout out Gravity Water. And so I just went up there and kicked it with him for a few days, and he just had all these cool people that he's friends with and blah, blah, blah. I ended up meeting all these people I know through my friends from Burning Man, and it just was awesome. So I just went up there for a few days and just jungled it out in Costa Rica like a crispy. And I was just walking through these villages. One of my favorite things to do is to just go to some fucking random culture country that's so different and just walk through the village. And I purposely, here's my travel tip, is I keep my phone on airplane mode. The whole 10 days I was in Costa Rica, I keep it on airplane mode. And that way you only get your phone works on Wi-Fi. So when you're back at your cabana or you're at a cafe, you'll get Wi-Fi. And so that way you're spending 70% of the waking day not on your fucking phone. And you can still take pictures and post them later, like look at me shit. So anyway, I did that and I just enjoyed myself and unplugged and just cruised through the tropical rigatoni. And then by the end of like a few days in this little one road town of Santa Teresa, I had gotten on Wi-Fi in so many places. Like you got to imagine it's like a one road town. And throughout a few days, what's your Wi-Fi at this cafe? And then the next one, what's your Wi-Fi? So after a few days there, you just walk down the street and you basically got Wi-Fi the whole time because you're within 50 yards of the fucking regalia. You're going to ding, you get messages. I'm like, fuck. So it kind of backfires on you because then you start getting all these messages and you're like, oh, this is defeating the purpose. I don't want to be accessible, blah, blah, blah. And then you start realizing how great life is when you don't have your fucking phone on you 24/7. We're all fucked. Whew, okay. 133 degrees. Hang on. So anyway, I don't know where this is all going. I guess I'm just sharing some regalia. The Joshua Tree compound is coming along. I just had J.E. and Smooth E, two music producer friends of mine. One's from St. Louis, one's from the Bay. My super homies, one flew out from St. Louis, J.E., and flew to L.A. My boy drove down from the Bay, picked him up, and then drove out with some, like, vintage equipment, and we just made music for 3 days and turned my dining room into a music studio. And I hadn't, you know, normally I produce beats as a hobby, so it was really cool for the first time in a year to make music again. And we were just sampling like the squeaky porch and we're sampling clanging pots and pans and singing. And it just got me inspired to do music again. So I just ordered a bunch of cool like live instruments. So anytime someone comes out to Joshua Tree, you could hit a bongo, or I got a what's it called, a gazoo, a kayak. What's that thing called? A gnu? Fuck, what's the a didgeridoo? Got a didgeridoo, which I don't know how to use. And I just got all these live instruments. So when you're out in the desert, you just feel like, and then you'll hear like a bird going like. Like a pattern, and then you're like, oh, let's repeat that bird pattern. Goo, 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 goo. And then we would sample that and mimic nature, and it's just so fucking fun. Because I've just been sitting out there by myself for a long time. So it was so cool to have my homies. I, you know, threw up a tent. We rotated. One night I slept in the tent. One night I slept on the couch. We just rotated the beds because some were more comfortable than others. And man, did I need that shit. Fuck, I was like getting seriously. That's why I haven't done podcasts, because I've been, you know, depressed. I just sit out there. By my lonesome, you really go through some shit when you spend time out in the middle of the desert by yourself. It's a trip. I actually encourage it. I'm trying to learn like the balance of how much solitude's good and bad. Like, I think people should spend time alone, just not 80% of the fucking week being by yourself in isolation. I think that's unhealthy. That's why prisons are, you know, they're trying to stop people from getting put in solitary confinement, because that's even the cruelest punishment you could give to a someone in prison, is putting them alone without community or someone to talk to. I find myself talking to lizards. I'm picking up snakes and talking to them. I'll be listening to a podcast and just respond to it as if they're talking to me. Like, if there's a hidden camera in my house recording some of the shit, like, sometimes you got to break down and break through, baby. So it's all good. And I ain't complaining. I'm blessed as fuck. But it's just the isolation is really, really intense after living my whole life in the city, just to be out there. And I've talked about this a million times. This is why I don't even do a podcast anymore. Who gives a fuck, right? Like, what am I really telling you guys you don't already know? Oh, being alone's bad. Shut up. Anywho, now it's 131 because I'm open. Let me crack the door. Holy shit, dude. 131 degrees. If you think about that, like that, if you're out in the Palm Springs, it was 131. You wouldn't even walk outside. I'm sitting in a box purposely fucking... Oh, God. Anyway. So, I just drank for 3 days, and I've never been much of a drinker, but my boys like to drink. So I got some tequila. They got some vodka. I'm drinking mezcal. We're getting saucy. We're drinking micheladas, which is my new favorite drink. If you don't know what it is, a michelada is basically a Bloody Mary, but with a Mexican beer. It's the best drink ever during the day in the desert. It's spicy. It's saucy. It's hydrating. It's got ice in it. Micheladas, baby. So I'm not much of a drinker, but out in the desert, it's definitely like a mezcal and michelada vibe. So I drank for 3 days, hence me sitting in a sauna right now, because I usually don't do 3 day drinking things that often, especially these days. So I'm just sweating it out. Yesterday I did a 3 mile run, sweating it out. Now I'm just cheating. Sitting in the sauna is kind of not cheating. You're sweating it out, but you're not earning it. You know, you're just sitting here, just like getting the same sweat you'd get if you ran a few miles. But I guess it's detoxing me, right? I mean, I'm dripping puddles of fucking tequila and Clamato juice right now all over the fucking regalia. How long have I been going now? This is going to be a short one. I just wanted to do a catch up with you guys. No politics. Fuck that shit. I'm so glad. God, that's another thing. Like, when you go down to the tropical regalia and you're not on your phone. I just opened Twitter a minute ago just to, like, get a laugh. And, God, everybody's just... Fuck. Even every comedian, it's politics. Like, fuck. You just can't escape it. Comics aren't even fun anymore. You know what I'm saying? By the way, speaking of comics, my new favorite comic, Giannis Pappas. I believe that's how you say his name. Holy shit. I just went by Alchemist Studio, and he always plays me new hip hop, and I'll show him some new comedians. I had this motherfucker dying. Giannis Pappas is fucking hilarious. He's got a podcast. He had one called History Hyenas or Hyenas of History with another comic. I can't remember, Chris some Stefano or something. Anyway, this guy's brilliant, really smart dude, but also just funny as fuck. I highly recommend, if I remember, I'll put it in the show notes. I highly recommend going and checking out Y-A-N-N-I-S and Pappas, P-A-P-P-A-S, for a laugh. That's going to be my recommendation for this annual podcast I'm now doing. I apologize if you guys have been waiting for these. I just don't, it's kind of like how I said I didn't make beats for a year. Like, I'd sit in front of the computer and nothing was coming up. And I know that's not as, you got to make it your job to do it. I have a very hard time faking the funk. Like, don't want to talk about something, I just don't want to force it. So, unfortunately, I'm a lazy son of a bitch. And but now I think hopefully this will turn the corner and I'll start talking some more shit to you guys and venting a little bit. Yeah, what else? Summer 2021's coming, and I'm predicting a baby boom and a lot of hospital visits because everyone's gonna be fighting and fucking. I'm predicting it right now. It's gonna be out of control. I'm gonna try to avoid the chaos. If I do any traveling, I ain't gonna be going to the fucking popping spots. I want to lay low because I think it's just gonna be fucking insane. Fucking damn it, dude. Okay, between stimulus, it stopped recording, and I just did 7 minutes that didn't record right after this point because my sweat dripped on the phone and stopped the fucking recording. But here's a quote to live by. Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. Basically meaning you can, like right now I want to get mad, but instead if I can choose to not get mad, and that's where you fucking grow up. So instead of me getting mad, which I want to throw this phone across every fucking alleyway in Jamaica right now, I'm not going to do it because who cares? It's not a big deal. So between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. I think that's the quote. Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning. He survived the Holocaust. He figured out some shit in there. Whoop-de-woo. Not trying to sound woo-woo. Just sharing a couple little gems. That's what happens when you go out to the desert. You just start looking for, searching for fucking new shit to get you through the day. Is this recording? God damn it. Okay. All right. So I got 1 minute left on the timer in the sauna. So we're going to wrap this baby up. I definitely drank a lot of coffee today. I had a double espresso in the morning and then a double espresso an hour later, and I'm fucking feel like Giraboski fucking Maradelio, dude. I'm flying off the roof like Jiminy Cricket right now. So as soon as this timer hits zero, I'm gonna call it. I think I'm just sweating out this fucking coffee, not even booze for 3 days. But I had a good time drinking with my boys, baby. Sometimes you just got, you know, I realize I'm like, I need to loosen up, man. I just gotta, when you're, at least for me, when I'm just sober for days on end, it's just so serious. I think sometimes you need to lighten up with a drink. And on that note, I love you, babies. Here's a random song, Suck You On The
enough. A lot of people not eating right. A lot of people not eating right. Have you been good to yourself? Have you been living a righteous life? Have you been treating other people right? Have you been staying away from adultery? Have you been staying away from drugs? Have you been keeping your faith in God? Have you been following the Ten Commandments? A lot of people have given up. A lot of people can't stand the storm. A lot of people they turn to drugs. A lot of people are staying drunk. A lot of people are leaving here. A lot of people they need our prayers. Not gonna be good to others. If you're not gonna be good to yourself, then you're then you're not gonna be good to others. When you mistreat yourself, then you mistreat others. When you mistreat yourself, then you mistreat your family. When you mistreat yourself, then you mistreat your children. When you mistreat yourself, then you mistreat your children. When you mistreat yourself, then you mistreat your children.